this is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the B2 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week, we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
We've got Matty Roper.
Good evening, Anthony.
And we've got Vince Hiller.
Hiya. Good evening, you all.
You well, Vince?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah. Can't complain.
Great to get you on the show. So for those who don't know, you played for Portsmouth, Stoke, in the first and second division, amongst several other clubs. What do you think were the biggest highlights in your career?
Well, you probably missed out there. The club I've got the longest, which is Crystal Palace, but they're up in the Premier now. But probably getting promoted to the top flight with both Crystal Palace and Portsmouth would have been my the highlights of look back on my league career.
Okay. Was Palace? You started off at Palace, didn't you? Was that the club you think you've got the best memories of, or?
I started off very young at Crystal Palace, so therefore I was quite a long time there. But Portsmouth was probably, I put them both on par, Palace, because Portsmouth had been in when my career was a little bit more established, so maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more than actually Crystal Palace being much younger. Maybe let it pass me by a bit too quickly and not savouring it.
Who was it you supported? Who was your childhood team?
My team was as a child in it, and where I'm from is West Ham. I'm a West Ham fan, and I closely follow them still now because I'm from the East End, and funnily enough, Leighton Orient.
Great season West Ham are having, though.
West Ham are having a good season, very good season. Leighton Orient was my first club that sort of I went to watch your a league game at, and I followed them closely as well because there's not a lot of distance between the two clubs, and I'd probably be even nearer when West Ham moved to Stratford. But they're not having a bad season either, Orient. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be maybe a West Ham Crystal Palace FA Cup final, maybe Palace winning, West Ham getting into the Champions League, and Leighton Orient getting promoted from the second tier. Return.
All right. What is it you do now? Now you're obviously retired from the game.
Yeah, I work in the hospitality for Portsmouth Football Club, which is quite good. I do some work for the media down on the south coast, so I'm still connected with football.
It's great stuff. Have you guys got anything else you want to ask? All right, we'll move on. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, obviously, playing for Portsmouth in your career, how horrible is it really to see where they are these days? Obviously languishing in the League 2. Obviously got some promotion this season, but still from the drop they've had in quite a quick amount of time, it must be quite depressing to see really.
Well, yes, you're dead right. Funnily enough, a couple of the clubs that I played for, Crystal Palace and Leeds, they both had hard times, and in Palace's case, they've come out the other side. Leeds are, 1 minute you think Leeds have turned it round a little bit and things are on the up, and then they get the problems again. And Portsmouth, they're again the same problems as Leeds. Okay, sometimes you have to go right back to the start to climb back up that ladder, but off the field they've got things pointing in the right direction, and on the field there's been a few hiccups, but I'm probably expecting them to maybe make a playoffs and then maybe battle with Orient at Wembley to get out of the division.
So I'm sure that'd be brilliant for you, and that's another thing I was about to say. Obviously with their off-field issues kind of being eradicated a little bit, do you think they'll be able to push on now and try and establish themselves a bit and try and get back into perhaps Championship, maybe even Premier League football in a few years?
Absolutely. I mean, all the teams down there, there's a lot of big teams that are finding difficulties. I mean, probably the most high-profile one at the moment now is Bolton, and just hope that, these older clubs really that are finding it financially difficult find a way to get make it an even playing field. Everyone's got a chance of getting the big rig up in the Premier League.
Exactly. All right, and cheers, Vince. Thank you.
No worries.
All right, let's start with home clubs then, the clubs we support. Nick, you went to Milton Keynes, as I understand it, to see Brighton win, and they've won the last couple of games.
Yeah, fantastic. My first ever visit to Milton Keynes, Don's. Very weird sort of place. stadium's obviously it's a massive stadium, but it's only obviously half full. I mean, it was fantastic having a packed 7,000 Brighton fans there, which it sort of felt like a home game in a way. It was so many of us and not really many home fans there. But onto the football, first half was very drab. It was sort of a goalless at half time, very few chances in either half. And in the second half, we brought Tomer Hemed on from off the bench, and he scores a penalty and then makes it 2-0. And he had a fantastic game, Hemed. All seemed very well. But then Anthony Kaye brought him back. Then a minute later, their centre back got sent off. And the last kick of the game, last sort of stage of the game, there's a really has to be said ludicrous penalty decision given by the referee. I don't really know what he's seen to give the penalty. But thankfully they missed it. And sort of sent a wild scenes in the way end. But a massive, massive win for us, and keeps us well in second place, and only 4 points now behind Burnley, who we play next at the Amex after the international break. And it helped with them conceding the last minute home to Wolves. So a fantastic weekend for Brighton concerned. Hull obviously not picking up any points. Burnley dropping points, and obviously us hanging on with a vital, vital win at MK Dons.
I guess let's stick with the Championship promotion race. Middlesbrough beating Hull 1-0 was probably the result of the weekend.
It was a massive win for them. It'd be lovely for us if they could have hanged on for the draw, but at the end of the day, only one of them's taken the points. Middlesbrough Hull have dropped points, and we're at 5 points above them now. So it wasn't a bad hit. Obviously, that result, I think Hull would have winning would have actually been the worst case scenario as well, given Hull have got a lot of easy fixtures coming up. Middlesbrough still got some tough ones in there, including us on the last day. So it's a big win for them. But I think the biggest winners of the weekend out of those four is probably, to be fair, Brighton.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the promotion race, Vince?
Interesting. I mean, I do think I'm sorry, I'm particularly Brighton because I'm very close to Chris Hughton, and we went to the same primary school in the East End, and that was against each other when Chris was at Tottenham and I was at Crystal Palace as players, and kept in touch, and Brighton being, that much. Because I'm based in Portsmouth, and so it's not far from here. And so the South Coast, they keep the flag for Brighton in that division. But the South Coast, what I will say is that Brighton, hopefully, Brighton will get out of the division. But they're having a very sort of similar season to Portsmouth. If Brighton look back and don't go up, I think they'll be looking back on the many, many draws they've had this season. And they could have turned sort of half of them into wins this season. They'd be up on our, but that's all in hindsight. But I think Portsmouth and Brighton's case is a little lesson for a lot of managers, good channel fans, a little bit with that we've gone X amount of games unbeaten and we're on a good run. But at the end of the day, getting promoted from any division is all about the amount of games you win, and ultimately drawing's fine once in a while, but sometimes it's better to win two out of three, then, maybe win one game and draw two of two. You end up with more points. So you get rewarded for being maybe a little bit more positive, and I think that could be maybe Brighton's downfall come the end of the season.
Derby are just outside. They're in fifth at the moment, just out of them top four. Got a big win against Nottingham Forest. I watched the game. It wasn't the best quality game, but it's such an important win for Derby.
Yeah, Derby winning in a Derby game, man. It's a massive, massive win. Not just beating Forest, but given where they are. But I think it's probably too little, too late for them to get back into the hunt for automatic. No, it's not impossible, but I just think with other clubs are sort of set up the better. But it's a massive win. It would give everyone a big buzz around the place, and as I say, they've just really got one thing. They just really got to kick on and keep the consistency up to the end of the season. And then, who knows? I suppose, though, that their main priority would obviously certainly be playoff spot, but probably looking for the home advantage for the second leg in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Something that impressed me, though, about Derby, I watched them pretty regularly, is it wasn't the sort of win where they played well and won. It was the sort of win where they sort of rolled their sleeves up and played gritty to win, rather than, what they typically don't really do.
Yes, and that's a sign of what you've got to do, really. I mean, Well, I've seen that plenty of times at Brighton this season, especially Chris Hughton. He's done that where a lot of clubs he's gone, really grinding out the victories. But yeah, have you seen it as well? Middlesbrough have done it quite a lot this season. Bruce Holland and Bruce have done it a lot. And obviously, Burnley under Sean Dyer, obviously, know how to do it. So, fair play to Darren Wardstall for getting us there. And it's about 8 games left. They've certainly, it probably won't be the only game they do that. They're probably going to do that in a lot of the last remaining 8 games.
If I can just interject there for a minute, I think it's been a great masterstroke getting Harry Redknapp in Derby, because the one thing about Harry, he won't look at anything other than, and probably will be a good mouth for Darren Wardstall to listen to, because Harry will be positive and he will say, you might as well go for a few wins now on the running and forget about drawing games, home and away, go for some wins, and that will just put pressure on the teams around them, the teams are chasing and the teams just behind them.
There were rumours he was there at the half-time team talk and had a bit of a say then.
I would imagine in Harry's case, knowing Harry very well, is the fact of the matter is I don't think Harry would... He might have been down there, but I don't think he would have been rejected, because don't listen to all you hear about that. Harry is not a fan of the director of football tag, and he knows what it's like if you isn't there too much. I think he's probably there as just the sort of a listening block for the manager, who probably turned to him and asked his opinion or what he thought he saw up in the stand, because you have a completely different view or perspective of watching a game in the stand than you do at pitch level.
All right, moving on to the bottom end of the Championship. Rotherham have made quite a resurgence. Neil Warnock recently has taken over and they've won 4 out of the last 5 games. But the thing about it is they've beaten Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, Middlesbrough and Brentford. So they've beaten decent sides, and it looks like they could be all right this season when earlier we thought they'd be relegated.
I was going to say they've been in brilliant form, haven't they? Obviously, a few weeks ago, languishing towards the bottom of the league, and now they're out of the relegation zone. So as I said, Neil Warnock's done an amazing job there, and the results over the last few weeks, like you say, beating the likes of Sheffield Wednesday up there, pushing for promotion, it's just a credit to him and the club, really. It's good to see. Obviously, Fulham are now in the bottom 4, which is scary stuff. Another huge club to be relegated to League One, but fair play to Rotherham. I think they've showed over the last few weeks that they're not a bad side, and again, they can grind out results, which is much needed, whether you fight at the end, at the top of the table, or at the bottom end of the table. And now I think they've put themselves in with a good chance of staying up. Obviously, they're at the point above the bottom 4, but still got a decent chance of staying up. So,
yeah, I'd like to see them start up. I think they're a nice little run club. I think Rotherham have done their business the correct way. Obviously, new stadium. Steve Evans did very well getting them promoted up the leagues. They haven't sort of spent ridiculously to get where they are. They've done everything, I think, the correct way. And I think Neil Warnock going in, obviously, he's not everyone's favourite, not everyone's cup of tea, but I think, his interview the other day, he really saw that he's actually passionate about keeping Rotherham up. He's really enjoying the job. And I think they've given themselves a fantastic chance. And then, so look at their squad, it's not really blessed with a lot of talent. Like Leon Best, we had him on loan at Brighton last season, and he was probably one of the worst strikers I've ever seen put on the shirt, to be fair. But I think with him as well, Leon Best, he's a player that he needs to motivate well. I think it almost got to a stage where Hughton thought he could get out the best out of him and couldn't really. But to be fair to Neil Warnock, he seems to be getting the best out of Leon Best. And say they can get him scoring and the whole team, then they're giving themselves a fantastic chance.
I was going to say Leon Best, when he played for us at Coventry, he was a bit hit and miss. One game, it looked like the next Ronaldo there, and the game after that, it would be an absolute flop. But I think, it's good to see him doing well, really, because he's got the ability there.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing we had with last season, and I could tell he had a lot of ability about him, but he just seemed to just lose interest quite quickly. I mean, it didn't help where Brighton were last season, but I think, and his attitude as well, sometimes he just wouldn't chase defenders down, which you want to see strikers do. And I just think his ability's there, and if Neil Warnock can get that out of him, then Rotherham has certainly got a chance to the end of the season.
I agree with both of your arguments there, but what I will say, one of the things with the loan system is that you have to look at it. It's got its pluses and minuses, but one of the big minuses of the loan system is the fact that a player never ever really settles. So you can't expect a player when things were going a little bit the other way for him, not going very well for him, to look as if he's going to give his all for the club. He probably is, you know, but subconsciously he can't be there because he knows he's only there for a short space of time. And I think that the inspired thing that they've done at Rotherham is getting someone like Neil Warnock in here, who, you know, he can have all the tactics in the world and be the most tactically brainy coach in Britain, but the position Rotherham in, it's all about inspiring and giving players confidence. And I wouldn't be surprised if he, one of the first things he's done or said to me and Best is that he's watched him at other clubs, he's always fancied him at other clubs, he never got the opportunity to sign him, but if he does the business for him at Rotherham, there'll be a contract waiting for him at the end of the season, and I'm sure that's how the Warnock's worked to all the players, you know, just giving them a bit of confidence and inspiring them. And with the running that is now, it's not about who's got the best players or best tactics, it's all about who's got the most nerve, and let's face it, the Warnock's probably the most experienced manager in that division.
Yeah.
Sticking with the bottom of the Championship, Bolton, it's been a mixed week for them. I suppose the good side, you could say, is HMRC have ended the winding up case, but then they lost 6-0 to Bristol City. So it's been a mixed week for them.
When we predicted the scores, I think we all said Bristol wins, didn't we? But I don't think anyone quite envisioned a 6-0. But no, just heaped further misery on them, hasn't it? But like you said, I think they're beckoned to relegation anyway, so I think the supporters won't be too annoyed with it, really. I think obviously they'll be looking with optimism for next season and hopefully try and back at the first attempt. And I really hope they do it, because again, they are a huge club, aren't they? To see any club in turmoil is just horrible. We know ourselves, as does Nick at Brighton. It's not a good feeling, and hopefully them and their supporters next season can enjoy a quite fruitful one, hopefully.
Well, I think you said it there. I mean, obviously, yes, they'll be annoyed if they've lost 6-0. No one wants to see the side get dismantled. But in that smoking, they have got, at least they can go into next season with a bit of confidence. So we've said it quite a lot of times on the show that relegation probably will be the best thing for the football club going down, because at least they can compete at that level, League One, and with a chance to come back up and come back as a stronger club, like we've seen with Wigan and Mill. And in recent years, Wolves and
Well, the lesson is sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for with new stadiums and getting top players in, because it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but later at some point it will catch up to you. And there's a lesson in there. Portsmouth was a great lesson. Leeds United were a great lesson. Unfortunately, Bolton look like they're going down that road, and you just hope they can get back. But as you all know, it's not none of the divisions outside the Premiership. A lot of fans from those Premiership clubs think, oh, we can, you know, once we go down, we'll bounce straight back. They're the hardest league to get out of. Unbelievably hard. And the game and everything else. And the turnover of coaches and managers is unbelievable. So I've got my fingers crossed for Bolton, but I'm not holding out too much hope that they'll bounce straight back at the first attempt. I think you're looking at Bolton in the wilderness for 2 or 3 years.
They could be quite similar to us, really. Obviously, when we went down to League One, we thought that we'd bounce straight back, even with the financial implications of the field and things happening. But no, we've been in League One now for 4 seasons, and it's been a bit of a nightmare, really. But like you said, they are very, very difficult leagues to bounce back out of. And no, I think obviously we all wish Bolton the best, but like you say, it could be.
Well, I think they just need to do that. The approach, I think they need to get rid of the high earners on the books, people who aren't really interested anymore, bet the youngsters in, and then sign players who know League One well. I think Wigan and Mill are prime examples of this season. Mill got rid of a lot of players, sort of the deadwood. They bedded in a lot of youngsters, and they've signed, proven League One players like Jed Watterson on loan, Steve Morrison returned, and you just need to go of doing it, I think. And I would say Wigan as well, signing Will Grigg and Max Power, players like hungry players really on the way up, and in the youngsters.
What you'll find though, it's, you know, a lot of the clubs, they say, as you just said, about getting rid of players that are high earners, but the problem is a lot of these players have underachieved the high earners, and if you've got, you know, another year, couple of years left in your contract, then you you're trying to upload a player, he's going to think to himself, well, I'm not going to go anywhere unless I get the same sort of money. And then the club has to find the money to pay that player off to get him out. And trust me, I've seen it, and I've seen Portsmouth go down that road, and it isn't pretty, and it's very, very painful to upload players, and you end up being beholden to players that you want to get rid of from the club. So that's the reason I'm saying you're looking at maybe 3 or 4 years before Bolton starts seeing an upturn in fortunes, and you hope the fans are a little bit patient, because it is a great club with a great name, but it's going to take time.
I guess it's a difficult situation to be in, but I guess from the player's point of view, it's hard to blame the player, because they've got the security, the financial security of these contracts.
Yeah, that's right, and that's how they look at it. And people can knock agents, clubs, the money the clubs pay agents, but take it from me, I think the best thing to happen to professional footballers, other than the Bosman, was the advent of agents, because agents are ruthless. And the better the deal they can do for the player, that means the better the agent will do out of it. So, I don't blame it, but it's a difficult situation. So, which makes you think even more fair play to Rotherham, clubs like Rotherham, because they won't. The one thing about Rotherham, even if they go down, they will be battling to get back out of the division again, because the clubs run on a sound financial footing, and they're not paying players what they can't afford.
All right, let's move on to League One. We'll start with Coventry for you, Matty. Drew 0-0 with Swindon, and still 2 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, if I'm honest with you, it wasn't a very good game. It was quite a drab between fairly decent footballing sides, really. Swindon obviously languishing 14th place, not had the greatest of seasons, but they were known for playing decent football, and they came to the Rico, and they did. But the only thing both teams lacked was a goal scorer. And to be honest with you, neither of us created anything of note, apart from we had a shot, a decent effort from Darius Henderson, saved in the 91st minute.
Darius Henderson was still at that level. I thought he was dropping into the non-leagues.
No, he signed for us about 3 weeks ago from Scunthorpe. It was a bit of a hard time. Came in, but Mowbray said he wanted kind of a different dimension up front, and he hasn't really got many minutes. He only came on for 20 minutes or so, but no, he could have scored a winner, similar to away at Port Vale when he had one cleared off the line as well. But no, it wasn't the best of the games. But if I'm honest with you, I think it's not a bad point. A win would have put us back in sixth spot, back in the playoffs. But against the Swindon side, who were beaten in seven, I think a point isn't too bad. But now we go into the Easter fixtures with four players out on international duty, so it'll be a bit difficult, but we'll see what happens. I think we need maximum points for the next two games if we're really going to push, because we've got a really, really tough April.
It looks like Joe Cole's leaving at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, he seems like he's going Tampa Bay Rowdies, which fair enough. But I think, if I'm honest with you, obviously when he signed, there was a huge expectation on his back, as there is with anyone who drops that level has played for England. But I think where he's at, age against him now, I think he hasn't quite lived up to his potential. I think he hasn't really contributed too much, apart from a world-class free kick against Barnsley, which I don't think any goalkeeper would have saved. I don't think he's particularly been too impressive, but it's been a joy to watch him, though, really. You can still see the class that he's got. Like I said, despite him not having the engine he perhaps used to, his ability on the ball is superb, but no, I don't think he's had as much impact as we like. But no, good luck to him, because I think he's an honest player. He just loves playing the game. And yeah, good luck to him over there. At least he'll get some nice weather.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've reached a stage in football, in all the divisions, that back in the day when I used to play, you could drop down a few divisions, and they used to say, well, don't worry about you not being able to run or get around the pitch. Your brain will make up for that. But now, even at League One, League Two level, I've seen enough football over the last few years at that level. The game's just got so athletic. You need to have some level of fitness to get round the pitch. They even expect it at that level. You can't just think you can get round by using your footballing brain. It's great to have one, but you need to have the legs as well. And if you can't, then you're going to get found out no matter how much ability you've got.
Exactly, and I think that's the thing we have seen with him, really. Like I said, you can see from the stands that he is a level above technically, but like you were saying there, he hasn't got the legs anymore, and it puts him in a bit of a predicament, really, because obviously he can't drop back and defend in the positions he should be, despite him playing in like a number 10 role. He can't drop back to where he should be when the other team is on the attack, and getting forward, he kind of slows down the game. When we've got the likes of Adam Armstrong up top, who's ridiculous quick, he slows the tempo down a little bit, which in some styles of play works, but in ours, I think it's kind of hindered us a little bit in a way. And that's nothing against Joe Cole, because like I said, I think he's excellent and he has been throughout his career, but
yeah,
it's just been a little bit disappointing, really.
It doesn't look as if whether you go up or, you know, Touchwood might, you know, Coventry might get in the playoffs, or, but it doesn't look as if Armstrong's going to be there next season anyway, even if they ask for him again, because I think if he does, they do keep him at Newcastle there, or they'll be sending him out on loan to clubs higher up the league.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only chance we've got of keeping hold of him, obviously, is if we go up ourselves, like you were saying there. But again, with the new manager coming in, with Rafa Benitez, you know, we'd have that relationship as he did with Steve McLaren, so it's a bit up in the air at the minute. But no, he's been good for us this season. Obviously, he's not our player at the end of the day, so I think we're all kind of expected. But at the start of the season, obviously his initial loan deal was meant to end in January, and none of us were expecting to have him for the full season. So I think we're just grateful to have him, really, for until the end of the season. And then if we don't go up, good luck to him wherever he ends up going, and hopefully... Well, hopefully we do go up, but good luck to him anyway.
I guess
he's been a good player for us.
I guess with the Adam Armstrong thing, you're not sure whether you want Newcastle in the Premier League or Championship. You know, chances for Armstrong there, the chance of him going out on loan, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. So Newcastle did go down, which, to be honest, I want them to stay up, really, but I think they're good candidates to go down. I think they will still go under Rafa. I don't know why, I've just got a feeling. But no, if they do go down, I think it would be incredibly difficult to get him on loan, because I think they're probably utilising themselves a bit more. He's a natural goal scorer, and people at Newcastle have tipped him to be the next Alan Shearer. People have watched him for young guys, which is a huge statement to make in itself. But no, you can see he's got that natural ability, and if he can develop over the next few years, I've got no doubts really that he could be a future England international. His record for the under 20s and things like that is incredible, and no, I just think he has got that raw talent, and it just needs moulding into an all-round footballer. And he will be one for the future. But I think Newcastle has certainly got a top talent. Yeah. If he's incorrectly.
Well, going back to what I said earlier about the loan system, I hope you're right. Armstrong, you know, yeah, good result. He looks impressive on, you know, the goals that he scored. But you wouldn't like him to go down the same route as Patrick. Bamford,
mm-hmm.
who's at Crystal Palace now, but was on loan to Middlesbrough last season, and I think from the age of about 17, 18, he's been going out on loan to clubs, and in my opinion, the lad has gone backwards from someone that could look like he could be worth, before he was 23, 15, 20 million. He just looks run-of-the-mill player, not getting any game. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, the loan system, sometimes players like to think, well, most of the time players like to think they belong, and in that respect, I think the loan system is not for me.
All right. Let's move on. Top teams in League One. Five of the current top six all got wins. Burton, Wigan, Walsall and Millwall. Barnsley got into the top six at Bradford's expense. Bradford losing 1-0 to Wigan. It's all still very tight at the top, and it's very difficult for us to predict, as we've said before.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've really been keeping a close eye on Millwall now. I think they might do it. They just seem to keep winning, don't they, really, Millwall? I don't think they'll get top two, but I really think they're going to take the momentum with them into the playoffs, which is very good, as we've seen in previous years. But yeah, Burton just don't want to seem to give up on that top spot, really. I think you're hard to look past Burton, I think, at the moment. And I think Wigan, with the squad and the depth they've got, it's probably going to be them two. But you never know. It can chop and change. So it's quite difficult to call.
Weren't we? And all the way down to 13th place where Scunthorpe sit. There's only 6 points between 13th and 6th. So it's still wide open. Still got 9 games to go. So 27 points to pick up. So it's wide open. But I'm just hoping that we sneak in there. That's all I care about, really.
Sorry to interject again. Just listening there, I've got to say they've got to be the best club in the country, Burton, for actually picking managers.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they seem to pick a manager, no matter how well the last manager does, and they have had some good managers, the next manager takes them on again.
Yeah, we said on the show in the past how how fantastically run Burton is as a whole. I mean, I think I was looking at a statistic actually the other day. Since 2010, they've got the best ratio of winning games in the Football League since 2010. But you, as you say, you look at it, and Nigel Clough, first time around, fantastic, got them into a position that, and left them fantastic to get promoted from the conference. Yeah. Then it was Gary Rowett, fantastic, moves on to Birmingham City. He's doing fantastic there. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, fantastic, got him promoted to League One, left to QPR, and he's probably going to do a good job there. He started slow, but I reckon he'll do fantastic for them. And Nigel Clough, obviously back where it all began, and yeah, he's probably going to get them promoted to the Championship, and he'll probably, and to be fair to Nigel, he'll probably hold his own in the Championship. As we've seen him, Nigel Clough with Burton before, he's done, in my opinion, he did a great job with Derby. Don't really know why he was sacked, but fair enough. And it seems like a fantastic place not only to play your football but to work as well at Burton Albion Football Club. And full credit to the chairman there, he's done a superb job with Burton. And again, it's not like they've been throwing money at it rationally to get promoted, like we've seen teams doing getting from non-league into League One, at Crawley, Fleetwood, and teams like Stevenage, teams like that. Yeah. They've really gone about their business the correct way, and as I say, they're an absolute credit to the Football League, I think, Burton Albion.
Well, it's a great lesson, isn't it? It's a good lesson for a lot of the clubs, from the Premiership down, about, just taking your time and making the right appointment, and not, having a manager coming in and wanting it to do it his way or play his way. Just keeping it going, and it's brilliant how they've gone about it.
Exactly, and that's what I think it was. The managerial appointment really was. The transition period was seamless. I think Hasselbank had very similar styles of play and philosophies to Clough, so the appointment of Clough back in. It was just seamless, and obviously when they were top at the start of the season, people were looking at them and thinking they're going to fall at some point, but they've won 23 of the 37 games. They've only conceded 31 goals in 37 games, so...
Yeah,
it's brilliant for them, really. And obviously they're not the biggest club fan base and things like that, but if they go up, which I think they will now, then it's a phenomenal achievement for them. And like you say, it is a lesson for a lot of the other clubs, isn't it?
It is indeed. The only club I can liken it to in the country, in the Premiership even, is Swansea 2030. And this is probably first season in 4 or 5 that they're maybe looking over their shoulders. Other than that, the appointments they've made have all been pretty similar, and the managers have all played a similar way. So it should really tell owners and chairmen of the clubs that is the way to go about it if you want to run a steady ship.
All right. You've just said about Scunthorpe are apparently just in the race for playoffs. They brought in Graham Alexander this week, who's manager with Nick Dawes, who took over a couple of months ago. He's now the assistant. The 13th, as we say, 6 points off the playoffs. Be interesting to see how they get on, if they can turn around their form. So they've only won 1 out of 7.
Yeah, I think they'll be hoping for when he takes charge on Friday, I believe they're playing. Yeah, against Barnsley, isn't it? Barnsley away. Uh-huh. So I think that'll be a tough game for them. They've shown in patches that they are a decent side, and obviously with the league being wide open, they'll be hopeful that they can reignite some form and really push for that 6th spot. Hopefully not at our expense, as I keep on hinting. But I think they've got the potential really to push. Obviously they'll be outsiders sitting 13th at the minute, but if they can put a real push together, then even if they don't perhaps get in there this season, push on next season, it'll be a bit of a confidence push for the club, won't it? Because realistically, I think their ambitions at the start of the season were to get in those playoff positions. I think a lot of people touted them to get in the top 6 as well, and it hasn't quite looked that way so far. But no, I think they'll be optimistic, and Graham Alexander's a brilliant manager, really, at this level. I think he's proved that, and yeah. I think they'll be very, very hopeful.
All right, but Blackpool are out of the relegation zone. They beat Crewe at the weekend. All the teams in the relegation zone losing. Big, big win for them.
Absolutely huge, wasn't it? Obviously, like I said, we played them the other week and they looked completely devoid of ideas. But no, they went to Crewe and they picked up a win, obviously, like you said, and fair play to them. And at the minute, I think they're 1 point outside the bottom four, aren't they? Obviously, they've played one game more than that's the Crewe and Colchester, and two more than Oldham. But at the end of the day, you'd rather have points on the board, wouldn't you? So, again, hopefully for their fans more than anything, I really hope they can stay up. But then at the same time, like we, I think we. alluded to the other week, it might be best for those to go down again as well, which would be quite horrible to see. But I think they do need to try and reshape the club, don't they, and kind of put themselves on an even keel again, because they are very much through at the minute.
Yeah, it's a massive win for Crewe, and I think it probably does relegate. I know obviously it's not confirmed yet, but I think that probably does relegate Crewe. Crewe, they just seem to be, obviously, your standard. They just seem to be, they're the classic yo-yo club, aren't they? Really are. There are times they must have got promoted from League One down to League Two, over up from League One down to League Two. Over the, it's just quite incredible.
They're probably jabbing at the lower league.
Yeah, they are indeed.
But I can assure you, it's an excellently run club. And,
The amount of players they brought through, I mean, they seem to bring through player after player after player, really, don't they, Crewe? And I think that will help them in the future. It will continue to help them.
But you've got to say, it's a well-run club. They'll always bring players through, and bringing players through will get the club money, because they'll move those players on. And to be honest with you, I don't think it will hurt Crewe in one way or the other. Whether they stay up or go down, they'll still be run the same way. And Crewe will always be there. It's an excellently run club, football club. And when you go there, you know what you're going to get. You're going to watch a team that tries to play football like. I know Darren O'Grady, who had a big influence in that club, and I'm sure every manager that goes there, Dario, tells them this is how you do things. You do things the Crewe way, and that's how it is.
All right, let's move on to League Two. It was Northampton, who have been top of the league for most of the season, have been brilliant all season. They had to come from behind. They beat Stevenage 3-2. Late Ricky Holmes goal winning that for them.
Well, that just sums up their season, really, doesn't it? They just keep finding ways to win football matches, and say that they're well on their way to the thing, and it's only a matter of time until they get named as champions. But fair play to them. It's just what a fantastic job Chris Wilder has done there, and fair play. And I think they'll do very well in League One. Seeing the team spirit there is just superb, and they look well on their way, don't they? There, and I think Oxford United as well. You know, I think that they look like they're well on their way. And so we said Chris Wilder, that's him, that's his former club and his current club, and I think he'll have a massive grin on his face at the end of the season.
Yeah, and with Chris Wilder, I think the management of the players, obviously through that period where they weren't getting paid with the off-field issues going on, I think he's really brought the group together. And I think in a roundabout way, I think not getting their wages has kind of helped the performances on the pitch, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. And they're a tighter-knit group now, and obviously the results have been incredible. They've won 25 out of 37 games, which is just remarkable anyway. And like you said, they'll be a League One club next season, there's no doubt about that. And like I said, with the off-field situation, I think that's a huge credit to the management and the players and the staff there. And good luck to them.
I've seen all the teams in the division this year, and I have to say, and I've been to a few of the grounds as well with Portsmouth, and I have to say, I thought, shows you how wrong you are, Oxford were far and away the best team that I've seen this season in that division. But they've been a bit sort of Jekyll and Hyde recently, along with the other team that are battling to get into the playoffs or battling to go up, apart from Northampton, who've just been so consistent and just been so hard to beat. And, I was surprised to see Ricky Owens leave Portsmouth last season, but he's gone and he looks like he's found another gear. I thought he had a bad injury last season. It took a little bit away from him, but he's put that behind him and has been probably their star performer this season at Northampton.
It's been a big week at Notts County. Fullerton's been sacked as manager there. Didn't have the best record. He won 3 out of 12 great games and couldn't win a game at home. So now he's been sacked with Cooper coming in.
Yeah, it's another knee-jerk reaction, though, isn't it, really? I think he was only in charge for something ridiculous, like 63 days. And yeah, the managerial merry-go-round in football these days is ridiculous. How can you expect a manager to come in and to a dejected group of players and within a few games turn it around?
So apparently the manager there wasn't really well liked anyway. Apparently the fans weren't really behind him. They didn't think he was doing a very good job, and they were just obviously getting very nervous that they might get sucked into the relegation battle.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, another thing that's unfortunate about football now is that more and more owners have an input on the playing side as well as the finance side now. I suppose because they put their money in, they can, not like the old days when you didn't actually see the owners or the chairman, other than a match day, sitting in the stand. Now they have an input on sometimes who to play and asking questions, right? You've got someone that don't leave to manage, and hence you'll get managers now that Notts County is a great example. They've only been there for a couple of months, not good enough, and off you go. And it's no time. It's too big a turnover in managers, particularly in the lower leagues. You've got to give people time.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like. Well, we're not sure how much time Mark Cooper's getting at the club. He's been set a points target. We don't know what number that is, but it's a points target which he has to reach to remain as manager next season. Do we think that's a good idea? Or
I think he's a good point. I mean, regardless of this points target, whoever the chairman set, I think he's a good point. And I think he did a really good. He seems to have always done pretty good wherever he's gone. Peterborough's okay. Swindon Town, he did a great job there. So I think it's a pretty good appointment, to be honest. But yeah, if the chairman wants to do it his way, then yeah, I suppose he's got to achieve his whatever target is set. Really, I suspect it's probably that magic number 50, which they all like to finish on, don't they? So it obviously confirms your safety. But you never know; it could be 60, it could be a maximum 3 points from every game. I don't know what that'll take them to, but yeah.
Well, you think that his target and the chairman set him would be win as many games as you can, and if I'm happy with what you've done at the end of the season, you're out. It's at the same points target. It's just ridiculous, and it just adds more pressure. You know, it's just I can't understand half of it, to be honest with you.
Do you not think it's possibly a good idea though to say, you know, this is, you know, setting out a proper target to say it's a mathematical number and there's no. You've either achieved it or you've not.
No, I don't. It's impossible to do something like that because you could turn around and you could be in the middle of a good run and then all of a sudden you get three players injured, two sent off, you've got suspensions there and you've got to go into the... No, you can't football... If it was that predictable, everyone would win in the betting shops every week. Yeah, it's not a predictable game, so you can't... Let's go right to the top of the tree. Let's look at Leicester. You know, what do you think their chairman said? Keep us in the division, and you've got a bonus. That's probably what he said to him. And now, you know, the target back to the game. Mm-hmm. So I don't quite understand how you can set points targets. What you can do is set an area to finish. The points target, no, you can't. That's not shouldn't be in the remit, to be honest. Right.
Pretty ludicrous, really. So, for example, say he does set the target is 50 points and they end up on 59, but stay up on goal difference. Yes. Will it get set?
Exactly. Or did you take that? If you set a target of 50 points and you end up with 55, you say, well, if you've got the job there, say, well, next season, if you don't get 50 points, if I've got 45 points, I'll take those 5 points I got last season in loan. That's what you've got to say, mate. That's what sums it up. That's how stupid it is.
Right. Let's move on to our club in focus then. This week we want to talk about Portsmouth. Given the guests we've got on today. So they've had, obviously, a drop. We've mentioned it at the start of the show. They've dropped down from the Premier League down the divisions over the last five, 10 years. But now they're completely debt-free now and they're owned by the Supporters Trust.
That's right. And even though it's touch and go about, you know, going up this season, fingers crossed that will happen, it's a lot happier place to be. As you can imagine, after the recent years, a lot of those supporters have been going there for many, many years. There's only one club in the city. All the kids walk around with Portsmouth shirts. You don't see anyone walking around, heaven forbid, with Southampton shirts down there or any other shirts. But I can assure you, they all walk around with their Portsmouth shirts. So the club is a football city, and for once, it's looking on the up.
So that's one thing I've always respected is Portsmouth and their fan base. We played them in pre-season. We played at Hamilton Waterloo, but also I think they were doing something to the crap park pitch.
That's right.
And the fans are an amazing bunch. You've got the mad bloke with the cowbell in the hat, speaking to him before the game, and they're just a really, really lovely bunch of fans, really, I think. And they are just football people. They just love their club, and obviously the attendances they get in League 2 are absolutely phenomenal. And I really do. I've got a little soft spot for them, really, I'll probably say. And I really do like they get out of League 2 because they were, like you say, FA Cup winners in 2008 and in the Premier League. And now, but no, hopefully they'll get themselves back up there.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a process.
I was going to say, I agree with that as well. It would be nice to have another club on the South Coast of the league. Obviously, we've got Southampton and Bournemouth in the Premier League. Brighton, well, Touchwood will be there next year. It would be nice to have Portsmouth jump up the leagues as well.
Yeah, you know, the South Coast is missing, maybe, should have, I mean, all four clubs on the South Coast for possibly the next 4 or 5 years could be in the Premiership. That would be the ideal scenario. It just shows you that two of the clubs, Southampton and Bournemouth, have been excellently run, and they're reaping the dividends. But Southampton have had their share of problems financially. And Brighton, I look at Brighton and I think they're a team of the future. They've got a lovely stadium, beautiful stadium, nice part of the world. And I would imagine Brighton, if they did get promoted, fingers crossed, would look at Bournemouth and think that's how you do it. You don't overspend, you buy what you can afford, and if you see you're doing well, that's when you add to your playing side of it.
Slowly does it, really, that's the way.
Exactly, the playing side, you know. I mean, with Portsmouth, it was the complete opposite. And if you ask, the one thing I will say, this is how big a support they've got. If you ask 9 out of 10 Portsmouth fans, would they swap their visit to sort of winning the FA Cup or where they are now, they would say no. They'd have that cup win every day of the week because it was such a phenomenon from down here.
Let's talk about this season then. Paul Cook's come in from Chesterfield. He's led them to sixth so far. Do you think automatic promotion in the top three is a possibility?
You asked me that question about a month ago. I would have said the top three because, funnily enough, Portsmouth have beaten Oxford at Oxford, beaten Northampton, and they've done very well against the teams at the top. Where they've had the problem this season is a little bit like Brighton, too many draws. And the problem with too many draws, it's okay sort of now, but at the start of the season, you feel the optimism and think, I will turn those draws into wins later on in the season. But what was happening, the Pompey's away form was so good, and they was winning games away from home. Every time they were drawing at home, it was, we'll turn it round. And they haven't really been consistent enough at home, haven't won enough games at home. And here we are now, coming up to Easter, and to go up automatically, they'd have to win, I would say, 90% of their games. And to get into the playoffs, you know, they'd have to win 50%. So 50-60% of their games. So too many draws.
I guess
No,
I was just going to say, you won't be wanting to have secured something before the final game of the season because that's against Northampton.
Well, you know, with the way Northampton are running away with the league now, you'd be hoping that Northampton have wrapped it up by the end of Easter, in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So they come to Fratton Park as champions and happy to play for, make it easy for us. If we do need the result in that last game, but we're hopefully looking to wrap it up before then. But it's so tight there now. Teams are dropping out the six, then dropping out the top seven, and then going back into it. It's, you know, Orient, Lake Orient came down a few weeks ago and got a good win at Fratton Park, and then they probably lost their next game at home. And you think, oh well, that was maybe a flash in the pan. And then they put on another good run game and lost in three, and they're back up there again. So. And then Newport, who I probably thought was one of the worst teams in the division, come to Fratton Park and give them a good chance and beat Portsmouth 3-0 there, and then went away and then get hammered. So it's a very unpredictable league, and you can't hang your hat on teams doing you favours. You have to do it yourself because there's so many, with the exception of Northampton, everyone's getting, you know, the results are so inconsistent.
I think that's why we love the Football League, though. It is so unpredictable.
Exactly.
All right, I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else anyone wants to mention.
I'm fine now.
Yeah. Anything that I'd like to mention, really, is obviously, I don't know if Anthony's going to go about this anyway, but me and a few other lads have started a podcast as well. It's called All Things Football. You can follow us on Twitter, which is ATFooty Podcast. And obviously the links to the podcast will be on there. But apart from that, I don't think I have anything to add.
You can also follow Vince on Twitter, isn't it? It's _ Vince Hilaire as well. You can follow us on Twitter. It's @V2Football. It's good night from me and good night from everyone else.
Good night.
Good night, fellas.